I was a 29-year-old senior pastor at a little church in Hereford, Texas, I walked up to a guy that I'd never met before. His name was Robert Morris. I said, "Robert, I'm just this young, struggling pastor. I need somebody to help me." And he graciously came to my church from Dallas-Fort Worth and helped me two or three different times. And in that moment, we became lifelong friends. I mean, we've been friends now for over 20 years. Robert and Debbie started Gateway Church in the year 2000. We joined their staff less than a year later. We had 50 people, and it was such a joy to serve under Robert. He mentored me. He encouraged me. Today, he's an overseer for our church. He oftentimes will call me with such wisdom and guidance and discernment. I think it's important for you to know who's influencing me, who's speaking into my life, and Robert and Debbie have done that since I was a really young man, and I am so grateful to get to bring them here today. They're not guests. They're members of our family. So out of honor for who he is as an overseer of our church, would you stand to your feet right now and welcome Pastor Robert Morris from Gateway Church in Dallas, Fort Worth.
Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. Pastor Brady just echoes the way Debbie and I feel about Pastor Brady and Pam, and we love them. They've been close friends for many, many years, and we were just so grateful. He was on our staff and part of our senior staff, and we were grateful to be a part of when New Life needed a pastor. We knew Pastor Brady would be the perfect pastor for you guys, and we love Colorado. We vacation here a lot. We're called to Texas. So somebody's got to be on the mission field. So, you know, you just have to pray for us. I don't know if you know, but God created Adam and Eve, and he put them in Colorado, and then they sinned, and then he created Texas. So, in the summer. So anyway, we're just honored. So my wife is here, just so you can see. She doesn't like to stand up, but I'm going to ask her to. This is my wife this year of 40 years of marriage. Debbie, will you stand up? So we have three grown and married children, and we have 9 grandchildren. And so I just want to say to those of you who don't have grandchildren yet, grandchildren are God's reward for not killing your children. They are fantastic. And so I just want you to know, you parents out there, the next time, you know, your child does something, you just feel like just hold on, because there's a better one coming. And you can play with that kid and have fun and then hop him up on sugar, send him home to get revenge on your kids. So it's wonderful. So I'm really glad to be here. I love you guys very, very much. I love serving as an overseer, as a servant to Pastor Brady and to you. So I want to share with you today a message called Living Beyond Blessed. And I want to just tell you right off the bat what I mean by that. I mean living a place, in a place in God's blessings to where we can be a blessing. Some of you might not know, I wrote a book about 19 years ago called The Blessed Life. And a friend of mine who has a large ministry and his own television things asked me to come on his show and teach on giving. And Debbie and I have been walking in giving since about 1985. And he said to me, the reason I want you to come and teach on giving is because you teach that we get to give. It's not that we give to get. And so he asked me to write the book. I wrote the book. The book took off. We gave all the royalties away. The book has been on the bestseller list since it came out. It's never been a month it hasn't been on the bestseller list since that time. It's about $500,000 a year in income that goes to the church, directly to the church, not to us. And so the book is 40-something languages. It's a textbook for seminaries and universities around the world. God's used that to spark a generosity movement in the body of Christ. And so I'm grateful for that. But once the book got out there and started helping more people, I started getting emails like, "Pastor Robert, I'm tithing, but I still have credit card debt." And I didn't understand those statements because I just wrote on giving. I didn't write on budgeting and how to debt and how to handle your finances and tools in Scripture about that. I didn't write on stewardship. Giving's just one part of stewardship. You know, I wrote on giving, and they were saying, you know, but I still have this problem in stewarding my finances. And I didn't see the correlation, actually. I can remember it was like I didn't write a book on grooming. You know, I didn't write on combing your hair and brushing your teeth and using deodorant and, you know, cologne and perfume and all this. I just wrote a book on combing your hair. And so people would send me, you know, this is the way I felt. They're sending me things saying I'm combing my hair, but I still stink. And so, yeah, well, there's a lot more to it than just combing your hair, you know. And it's almost like we kind of feel like if we tithe, everything will be great. And we do need to tithe, but here's what happens. The enemy comes in, once we catch the revelation of tithing, that it's not a tax, it's not Old Testament, it's about putting God first in our lives. Pastor Brady preached on that about a month ago. When you realize that, it's like the enemy says, I can never get them back now to not tithe. So what I'll do is I'll get them to buy a car that's too much for their budget, or a house that's too much for their budget. I'll get them somehow to go into financial bondage. That way, even though they know they're supposed to tithe, they won't be able to. Because if they tithe, then a water well is going to be drilled somewhere, and an apartment building is going to be bought, and the church is going to expand, and more people are going to be helped. So I've been wanting, so last year I released the book called Beyond Blessed, and it's about stewardship, managing our resources. So that's what I want to share with you about, all right? So here's point number one. It sounds kind of strange, but I'll explain it to you. It takes two legs. It takes two legs. Now, here's what I mean by that. I didn't name the book purposefully. I didn't name it The Blessed Wallet or The Blessed Checkbook, because I believe that when we manage our finances correctly and when we're generous, that it affects every area of our lives. So I named it The Blessed Life. But a life walks on two legs. So one leg is generosity, but the other is stewardship. I want you to think about if a person is generous, but he or she is not a good steward, God can never really bless that person, because that person will squander the blessings of God. So you many times people are generous and God blesses them initially, but they don't continue to walk in stewardship, so he can't really pour out, open the windows of heaven like he wants to, because they're not stewarding it well. On the other hand, if a person is a good steward, but not generous, we call that tight. You can go ahead and nudge someone if you'd like to. Why would God bless that person? Because his point is to get the resources to a place where they're needed, to be able to help people that can't do it. So we gotta understand it takes two legs. You've gotta walk in generosity and stewardship. It's kind of like the old cartoon character that they nailed one of his shoes to the floor and he just went around in circles. And that's what a lot of people are. A lot of people are generous, but they're not good stewards. A lot of people are good stewards, but they're not generous. So you have to learn both. Now, just so you know, we are born selfish, every person. And selfish really is a word that we really see as evil and bad. Selfish simply means that your focus is on self. Babies have their focus on themselves. That's all. They're not bad. They just focus on themselves. They want you to get up in the middle of the night and feed them. They're not thinking about anybody else. And the way every person matures is you stop thinking about yourself and you start thinking about others. So we're all born selfish, but we're born again generous, all of us, because we're born with the divine nature is what the Bible tells us. So something changes in our hearts and we want to be generous, but if no one ever teaches how to handle our finances, we can't be generous. And so it's very, very important to understand. Now, I said we're born selfish and we grow. The, you know, people will tell me, you know, the first word my baby learned was mama or dada, and that's probably true. But the second word is mine. 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 And a child can say it at a pitch that bothers your spine. Have you ever noticed that? You're relaxing in your recliner and you hear this, mine, 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 mine. Just, you gotta go through the house to find this sound, you know? And you walk in the room, it's normally an older child and a younger child, and the younger child is pulling on something, saying, mine, 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 mine. Now, there comes a time in every parent's life when we don't care anymore about justice. We care about quiet. And so we say something like this, give it to her. And the older child says, but dad, it really is mine. Give it to her. She has things of mine too. Give it to her. So we start out selfish. Now, I just want to pause for a moment and talk to the ladies for a moment, okay? Because even though men grow up, there's one part of us that never grows up. And apparently you don't know this. So as a representative of all males, I want to let you know. There's one thing that we do not like to share. It's our food. And for some reason, you want our food. Debbie and I'll be going through the drive-thru. I say, do you want anything? Guys, you know what she says, right? No, I'll just have some of yours. No, you won't. I'll buy you your own fries. But the fries are mine. And the fries that fall in the bottom of the bag are mine too. That's the rule. Amen. It's good preaching. So, all right, so it takes generosity and stewardship, all right? So here's number two. Ownership or stewardship. You've got to understand this. Are you the owner or are you the steward? Do you own your house or do you steward your house? Have you ever stayed in someone else's home? Anyone, can I see your hands? I want to see if I'm the only moocher here. Anybody ever stayed in someone else's home? We years ago, these people let us borrow their vacation home. Debbie wouldn't let me sleep on the couch. She wouldn't let me put my feet on the coffee table. She wouldn't let me eat in front of the TV. She kept reminding me, this is not our house. This is not our house. She was reminding me we are stewards, not owners. But a lot of people never catch this, that God owns it all. All of my kids, when they went to college, I gave them one of my credit cards. And I told them what they could put on there, you know, food and gas and things like that. And I said, but I also wanted to have a card in case they had an emergency, breakdown on the highway or something, you know? But I'd check their bill. You know, I'd check it when I got it. I had two sons and a daughter. My two boys did great. I got that first month bill from my daughter when she was at college. $57 at Chili's. She's 5'7", weighs 120 pounds. You can't do that. And then all these meals, $40-something, $60-something. So I knew what she was doing. So I called her and I said, are you buying other people's meals on my credit card? She said, yeah, but they're paying me back. They're not paying me back, sugar. She had a business going. She says to me, Dad, you always taught me to be a giver. Taught me to give. I said, this isn't giving. This is stealing. It's my card. It's my money. What I was trying to tell her is, you're not the owner. You're just the steward. Let me show you some verses about this. Psalm 24, 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Now, we believe the Bible, right? Everything. The world and all its people belong to him. Psalm 50, verse 10. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Now, I love how God puts funny things in the Bible. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. I don't need your food. I own everything. For the world is mine and all its fullness. Here's what God's saying. If I want a cow, I'll eat one of my cows. I eat one of my chickens. I eat some of my fruits, some of my vegetables. I own it all. It's all mine. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. If you have a diamond, it came from God's coal. The house you live in came from God's forest. The metal you drove to church came from God's earth. If you have a pearl, it came because one of God's oysters got irritated by a grain of sand. So it's God owns it all. That's what he's trying to say. Listen, your cow's my cow. Your hills are my hills. Your dog's my dog. And some of you probably think, God can have my dog. By the way, I'll just stop for a moment, just answer a question. This is one of the top five questions that pastors get asked. Will my pets be in heaven? So if you want me to, I'll just give you my opinion. Yours will, mine won't. My dogs have never repented. They poop on the floor, no repentance. I had a son that had a dog like that, just work crazy, run all of stuff, tear stuff up, all over his house, tore cushions, pillow, everything up. He named him Luke. I said, son, that's short for Lucifer. He said to me one time, you think training would help my dog? I said, the only thing to help your dog is a priest, a cross, and some holy water. Your dog is demon possessed, son. So he gave him to a family in our church. What a blessing. And they gave him away too. So anyway, God started it all with stewardship. You may have never thought about this. He puts Adam and Eve in the garden and he tells them to tend the garden. Can I just tell you what that means? Steward. Steward my garden. He puts a tree right in the middle of it to remind them every time they walk by that it's not their garden. It's his garden, that he's the owner. He said, don't eat from that tree because this is my garden. And the very first temptation of Satan, really, you want to boil it down? Because he said, God doesn't want you to eat from a tree. He knows you'll be like God. Okay, very first temptation was this. You eat from that tree, you'll get to be owners, not just stewards. God said, the day you think when it's yours, you're out. Do you realize how this would change how you handle your finances if you thought every dollar in your account belonged to him, not to you? And it does. If you have teenagers in your home, you have had this thought before. This is not your house. You're just here on loan. You're going to be gone in a few years. Your mom and I liked each other before you got here. We're going to like each other when you're gone. Because teenagers have a tendency to think it's their house. And so all of us end up saying to our kids what our parents said to us. As long as you live in my house, you're going to abide by my rules, right? Because it's ours, they're just living there. Is it possible that God has a teenager problem? That his kids haven't grown up? I actually believe the difference between being a babe in Christ and being mature is stewardship. Once you understand that none of your stuff is yours, it's all God's. It's a big deal. I taught I put it in practice in my own life, and then I taught our church this, but when Debbie and I were getting our finances in order years ago, newly married and all, and so we sat down, we drew up a budget, and then I came up with this cute little thing. I called the budget Mr. Budget. And so Debbie would say to me, hey, can we buy this? You know, some new furniture or something? And I would say, oh, sugar, I would love to buy you new furniture. But let's see what Mr. Budget says. Oh, Mr. Budget say no. I'm so sorry. Mr. Budget mean. You know, I would buy it for you, but Mr. Budget say no. It worked great for a few months until one day I wanted some new golf clubs. She said, oh, Mr. Budget say no. I taught our church this, Mr. Budget, you know. So this family in our church, they told me this. they started going to McDonald's. There was a McDonald's close to their house that on Tuesday nights had Happy Meals without a toy for $1. So they would go there on Tuesday nights. And so they're going there one week. Their little three-year-old girl sitting in the back seat in the car seat said, "Mama, can we please get a toy this week with our Happy Meal?" She said, "Sugar, I would love to buy you a toy. But let's see what Mr. Budget says." Oh, Mr. Budget said, "No." They heard this little girl had her arms crossed a little while. She said, "I want Mr. Budget to die." That's the way we feel sometimes. But what's great is when we have money left over at the end of the month. And what's great is when we have enough to bless someone else. And that's point three, be a blessing. Be a blessing. I want to show you two little scriptures about a guy that's not mentioned anywhere else in the Bible. Let me show you what God tells us about him. 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. "Now Jabez," that was his name, "was more honorable than his brothers." Notice God calls him honorable, and even more honorable than his brothers. "And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.'" The word Jabez actually means pain in the Hebrew. That's what his name meant. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel." That'd be like us saying he prayed to God. "Saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed.'" I want you to notice he asked God to bless him. "And enlarge my territory." That'd be like increase my income. "That your hand would be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." Bless me so that I might not cause pain. In other words, he could say, so that I could be a blessing to someone else instead of pain. So God granted him what he requested. Here's the reason I want to show you that. Satan tells us, you know, if you ask God to bless you, that's just selfish. That's wrong. Well, what if you're asking him to bless you for the right reason? Here's a man in the Bible that asked God to bless him. So I could ask you, was that prayer wrong? And if it was wrong, tell me why God answered it. So it must not be wrong if your motives are right. And don't let the devil question your motives either, because it's not just that you can be a blessing. It's not wrong to want your kids in a good school. It's not wrong to want to live in a safe neighborhood or have a car that actually starts when you try to get it to start. It's not wrong. And God does want to bless us for two reasons, the Bible tells us. One, because he loves us. Just like you love your kids, you want to be a blessing to them. But also because he wants us to bless others. Think about this. Let's say you live in a smaller community and you own an apple orchard. And there is a mechanic in the community that fixes all the widows' cars for free. And he's a hard worker, but he just has a difficult time making ends meet. And so the dairy farmer gives him milk, and the chicken farmer gives him eggs, and you give him apples. And then another family moves in, and they have a difficult time too. And so you help them, and everyone kind of helps each other in the community. And then another family moves in. Pretty soon you're helping like 8 or 9 families. And you start thinking, you know, it's a lot of apples. So you notice this field that's your land that's got rocks and all in it. You've never planted it. But you have this thought, you know, if I clear the stones out and I fertilize and I till the ground and I plant, I think that could be another orchard and I think I could help more people. And again, it's not wrong to think this way. And my kids are about to go to college. It would provide more income for my family. Plus, I could help more people. So you prepare the field, you plant the seeds, and then when you go to bed at night, you pray and you ask God to bless you. Is that wrong? I want to shout it from the rooftops. That is not wrong. To ask God to bless the work of your hands for your family and so you can be a blessing. We've got to come to that place that we don't allow the enemy to mess with our minds and tell us, well, you just have wrong motives. Tell you one more thing that happened to me just a couple years ago. Debbie and I were driving, making a road trip one time, and we stopped to get gas, go to the bathroom, and while we're about to stop, about 10 miles where we stop, I start thinking about this drink that I like, that I drink about twice a year. And I started thinking, it's not a bad drink. But someone in high school introduced, this sounds really bad, doesn't it? So let me just tell you what it is, okay? It's Dr. Pepper with peanuts in it. Yes. Who said yes? Okay. How many of you have ever heard of like a drink and you pour peanuts in it? How many of you have ever even heard of that? How many of you have never heard of that before? How many of you think that's the grossest thing you've ever heard? Okay, never mind. I don't care what y'all think. Okay, so I start, it's about twice a year. I don't need to go to group yet, you know, but I just started thinking about it. And so the reason this is important is because normally you stop, you know, to get gas, you put it on your card. Obviously you paid at the end of the month. You go in, go to the bathroom, you come back out. You don't have to stop at the counter. But I had to stop at the counter because I wanted Dr. Pepper and peanuts, okay? So I stop at the counter. There's a lady in front of me, and she's counting out change. I can feel myself just for a moment get a little agitated, but immediately it goes away because I realize what she's doing. She's buying $1.32 worth of gas. And so I did what any of you would do. I went out to the pump, pulled out my card and said, I want to buy you a tank of gas. She's there, she's about my age, she has her son and his wife, and she's trying to buy gas for them. That's all the money they had. And then years ago, I started carrying $100 bills so that when God speaks to me, I give a $100 bill to someone to bless them. But I never ever give it to them without telling them what it is. And this is what the Lord told me to tell them. I said, I'm gonna give you a $100 bill, but let me tell you why. I used to be on drugs. I was really messed up. A guy told me if I'd give my life to Jesus, everything would change. And I did, and it did. And I'm giving you this $100 today to remind you that God loves you and has a good plan for your life. And I gave him the $100 bill. And this woman, again about my age, hugged me and whispered in my ear, you'll never know how much they needed to hear that today. That is living beyond blessed. It's living a life that I've got enough for my family and I've got enough to be a blessing when God speaks to me. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment. And I want you to just take a moment, and I know you do this probably with Pastor Brady after messages, and I want you just to do it every time you hear a message. Just get in the habit of just saying at the end of the message, Lord, what are you saying to me through this message? And I want you just in your heart, would you just breathe that prayer to the Lord? Lord, what are you saying to me through this message? And for some of you, you're really good stewards, but you've never really caught the revelation of tithing and being generous. And you need, that's what God is speaking to you today. I know people that tithe until they make more money. And then they see how much it is and they struggle. And I struggled with that when because I've written other books and God's blessed us with other income. And I struggled too. Don't condemn yourself because you struggle, because we all struggle. But some of you really want to be generous, but you're not a good steward. It's okay. There are resources to help you. Just tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be a good steward of what you give me. So whatever the Lord speaks to you, just respond to him in your heart, okay? And I want to pray for you. Lord, I pray for my precious brothers and sisters. I pray, God, that you will speak to each of us what each of us need to hear today. And I pray, Lord, that each of us will live a life beyond blessed. In other words, we will live a life where we can be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.